this week. So we're going to welcome him up. Trey's going to be sharing with us and with some of the team, I believe, as well. Awesome. Thank you, Trey.
Thank you, Tobes. All right. Let me test my tie on you. Sawadika Church. Thank you to the four of you that replied. I appreciate that. All right, so I hope that's not a sign of things to come from you lot, because this morning I really believe that this could be the morning that sparks some of you out into the mission field, okay? This morning I believe that while we are going to share some things of our experience from out in the hill tribes of northern Thailand, I believe this has to be for you. My motivation this morning, just so you know, because I know a lot of you have been here for a long time, and I know how much you love to see holiday snaps from the missions team. Look at the bedrooms that we stayed in. Oh, and this is a restaurant that we went to. I know how much you love that. So I won't disappoint you. You ain't going to see no bedrooms or any restaurants, I don't think, this morning, church. My motivation is that when we head out onto the mission field, now whether it be the hill tribes of northern Thailand or whether it be in our streets right here in Forry, just like Jace just mentioned, we are fulfilling calling. My motivation is that each of us has a part to play in this great calling. You see, the team that went to Thailand was not full of really, really special God people. It was full of really, really normal people, inspired by the Word of God, inspired by Jesus. And I wonder if you know that you are called this morning. I wonder if you know that whether you're in this church for the very, very first time, or you've been sitting in the pews for a very, very long time, you're called and you're able, and this is our responsibility. You see, I preached a few weeks back along this verse, they will know you by your love. Jesus said that. And as long as you got the love of Jesus in your heart, this is what we're called to do. Okay, so know that this is not about the Thailand team. This is actually about us, all of us, whatever the location may be, sharing the love of Jesus. So I want to say thank you, first of all, because we spent 13 days out in Thailand and we really felt your prayer support. We really appreciate that. I also want to say thank you to all of you that heard my shout out that if you wanted to bring a gift through us to Thailand, do so. And I had kittens on the night before we flew out, because our church is so generous, I had to find 20 kilos worth of bag space to fit all our gifts in. We got there. Praise Jesus. That was the first miracle of our trip. But the kids were blessed. The kids were blessed through your generosity. So many of you gave. And for those of you that gave to other missionaries, and also to Tim and Claudia at ATM, they were blessed by your generosity. So I want to say thank you on behalf of them. We also met up with another member of our global team. Some of you know her, Robin Schroeder. She met us in the second week of the trip. Robin is a global missionary out in Southeast Asia. And she had to come out of the country that she's based in to sort her visa out before flying back in. So we met her, and she just wanted to let you know that she is just so refreshed for that opportunity to come out to Thailand. And she also asked us to pray for her. as she re-enters back into her the country that she stays in, lives in, preaches the word of God in. She's under a fair amount of pressure. It's not easy to preach out in that Southeast Asian district that she's in. So before I get into my preach this morning, why don't we come together in prayer? So Father God, I just give you thanks and praise that you called each and every one of us to be your hands and feet. Father, I thank you that you use any of us for any purpose. Father, I ask that as we hear your word, as we hear testimony and insight from our team this morning, Father, that we be sowing seed right throughout this room. Father, that your people would know that they are called to share your love, to share your good news. Father, you have a very, very blunt message about the poor and our role with them. Father, I ask that you would open our hearts, Father, to see those in need all around us, not just in Northern Thailand, but right here in Fori. So, Father, I'm asking that this day would be a day of birthing. It'd be a day of birthing into the field. Father, in particular, I lift up those that have been told that, no, you can't do it. Father, those that have been discouraged, Lord, my prayer would be that they are filled to overflow. They are stirred to action this day. Father, and also I lift up anyone that has been falsely told that, no, that's not your calling. Be in the hands and feet of Jesus, wherever it may be, that's not your calling. It's okay, I'm not called to do that. Father, if anyone has misinterpreted the scriptures, I'm asking you for fresh revelation this morning for each of us, that we would all know that we know that we know that this is not about a certain group of people being called. Father, it's all of us. So Lord, would you open our hearts, would you open our minds, would you open our ears to what you have to say this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, did you know that? You can be you, and be the hands and feet of Jesus. There's no secret to it. So as I said, you know, my intention this morning is not to just show you pictures of the places that you didn't go to, or repeatedly tell you that it was awesome, because I think you will get an understanding of that anyway. You will see some photos, but I'm not really going to speak about that. The Hillside team out in Thailand, we had a very special experience. But as I say, my motivation and the prospect of each one of us being the hands and feet of Jesus is far more exciting to me than sharing with you nice stories about our trip. You see, I believe Jesus wants to give us insight into each of our own callings this morning. You know, it excites me to think that the Hillside community could step up even further, because I know we're a generous church. I know we're a missions church. But it excites me to think we can do more, that we can all activate each other in this. You know, I got to tell you, we took a team of people out to Northern Thailand. The youngest that we had in the team was age 18, 1-8. 18. It's a real privilege to have young people on this trip. It's been a little while since we've had young people on this trip, young adults on these kind of trips. But at the other end of the scale, my sister turned 80 the week before we rolled out to Thailand. And you know what? I wasn't carrying her down hills. I wasn't like helping her downstairs. She was swatting me away. She was swatting most of the other Thai people away that tried to help. I had somebody in their 70s coming on their first ever missions trip. Didn't know what to expect. How am I going to be used, Craig? Oh, you're going to be used. So just in case you're thinking age is a problem or experience is an issue, I hope we wipe that away immediately. Yeah, we're all called and we all have a part to play. So please, if you're going through the motions this morning, if you've heard it all before, if you're watching the clock wondering when the holiday snaps will be finished, or you've somehow, as I say, misinterpreted the scriptures, and you think like, no, I'm not called to do that. Please, I'm asking you, open your heart again. Open your minds, because Jesus might want to reveal something to you this day. You see, maybe this day is the day that propels you into the field. And the field I'm talking about, again, is not a million miles away. Maybe that's right here in Forest Field. You see, Jesus said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, I preached this to you, as I said, just a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's worth noting that there's no little asterisk at the end of this verse. You know, and then you look into the footnotes and it says, oh, like, love everyone except these people. Don't say that. It's not there. Not in my Bible anyway. The other thing that Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't add a but if. He doesn't add a love everyone, but, you know, like when this happens, if this happens, you're excluded. Not in my Bible. There are no exclusions for us. And we should keenly remember this. You see, location has very, very little to do with anything. Whether it be Forest Field or Chiang Mai, we should be a people set apart by our love. To be doers of the word, not just speakers of it. Because I can tell you, but if you never see me do it, then I believe there's a problem. You know, this is the calling of Adopter Street. This is the calling of HCCO. This is the calling of our global missionaries all over the world. You know, we got a board out in the foyer that shows you pictures of them. But this is us. This is the calling of us, church. My fear is that we become immune or passive when it comes to the mission field, be it on our doorstep or thousands of kilometers away. When this should be the very thing that excites us, it should motivate us, it should challenge us. See, even those that walked closely with Jesus sometimes needed to be challenged by him. Even those that knew him so well and spent so much of their time with him needed a reminder. So before we hear from the team, I want to show you this example that sometimes flies under the radar. Even the disciple Peter was subject to greater understanding. Now those of you that are more familiar with the stories in the Bible will know that Peter, of all the disciples, mate, he had an opinion. He wasn't shy at speaking up. And I want to take you into John 13. And the whole story is between John 13, 1 and 17. It's the story of Jesus washing the feet. So many of you would have heard that or seen pictures of that, of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. You know, servant-hearted Jesus. But you see, the subplot to that we sometimes forget, and I'm just going to dive in verse 6, is that Jesus wanted to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter, he clocks what's going on. He's like, I see what he's about to do. Nah, I know who this guy is. I know who Jesus is. And Jesus comes over to Peter and he says this, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replies, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And Peter says, nah, you're not washing my feet. You'll never wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." You see, Peter didn't understand. He didn't get it. And he was about to say, no, Lord, no. You can't do that. You're never going to serve me like that. I know who you are. And Jesus completes the washing of the feet. And he says, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. And that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You see, even Peter, a man that walked so closely with Jesus, had more to learn. You see, he didn't understand fully. You know, and this principle is not just about Jesus being servant-hearted, but it's an example of his ways not being our own. It's an example of him walking out. You know, he just didn't tell everyone how it was meant to be. He had to show them. You know, he had told Peter how it should be before. So Peter understood it up here, but he needed a demonstration before he could receive that further revelation. So I encourage you this morning to listen closely, particularly those of you that have maybe heard that, you know, like missions is for a special group. It's not. It's for us. Because I believe the Lord will reshape. He's going to relate and call each of us to a fresh revelation in him. You see, no one is beyond a fresh revelation from Jesus. So I've asked three of our team to share their insight with you this morning. And I haven't asked them if they enjoyed the trip, so you can ask them that if you want to. They can tell you how rough a leader I am on them. But I do want to share their insight into the why they chose to step into the mission field. Why they have chosen to serve Jesus in this way. And unfortunately, because we've only been on the ground for about 72 hours, we haven't had to practice this. So who knows what's going to come up. But can I ask, first of all, Helen from our team to pop up? I got a few questions for you, Helen. Oh, you can clap. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? I don't know if these chairs work either. I didn't bring the other mic up. All right, okay. So, Helen, third time on the trip. Oh, God, it's a bit high.
Hello. Sawadi ka.
There you go. Sawadi ka. Oh, you've got... This is bad, isn't it?
He's heavier than
to,
I am.
I'm not meant to be... Oh. Oh, gosh, I can't find the thing to put myself... Oh, there you go. Hey. Oh, sorry. We're professionals, as you can see. Third time on the trip, Helen. I think it's worth explaining to everyone, why do you sponsor children in Northern Thailand, and why do you continue to visit your sponsored children?
Okay, so I always wanted to be a missionary since I was about 8 years old. And when I was in, and I tried to be a missionary, but never quite got there. But when I was in my 20s, I started to sponsor children through World Vision. And then the church started sponsoring through Compassion. And when I heard that there was going to be a mission trip, I thought, wow, this is great. This is going to suit all my needs. So I started, I sponsored my first child and went over to visit them. And it was such a precious time. I realized that it wasn't enough for me just to sponsor a child. It had to be relationship as well. And I think one of the most important things is relationship. And God is always in relationship, and he's built us for relationship. And so in sponsoring a child and having relationship at the same time with that child, I found was most effective, not only for me, but for that child as well. And so when I was over there, I decided to come home and sponsor another child, which I did, and then started having a relationship with them. And now I've come home and I've decided to sponsor a third child. So it's just having that ongoing relationship with them, and that's why I love going back. I love going back just to see them and to build them up, because they're going to be part of the body of Christ. They're going to they've got a plan and a future for them in Christ, and I'd love to see that plan, you know, evolve in their life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, the visits that we go on, they make our financial contribution real for the people we visit. Because otherwise it's a faceless kind of scenario. There's just a little bit of money gets popped in every month, and that's a great thing. That's a real blessing. But when they see the person that's been helping them, and compassion's approach is not just helping, you know, your 7-year-old child or your 14-year-old child, it's their family. It makes an incredible difference to know that you are loved, to see that someone would fly all the way from Australia out to visit a 7-year-old in the hill tribes of Northern Thailand. It's pretty incredible. Helen, what role did you play on this trip, and how did you see others serving on this trip?
Okay, so I'm just going to give you a list of roles that I played, and I want to give you this list because... not to build myself up, but to say, hey, you can all do this list. What's on this list? You can all do this. We were put on the spot many times. So first of all, I sanded and stained doors, and some people did cementing retaining walls. Tim put me in charge of sanding and staining doors, and our 80-year-old lady, Sylvia, she said, Helen, can I come and help you do that? And I looked at her and she said, yeah, well, that's been part of my life all this time, you know, her independence, and she's had to do those things for herself. So it was just fantastic. So, you know, don't even worry if you're past 80. You're still in there. You're still in. You can still do it. So we, you know, 18 to 80-year-olds are all standing doors and standing doors. Played guitar and sung alongside with Janice at different meetings. Spoke a blessing over a congregation. One of the congregations that we went to, we had a, instead of prayer tunnel, we had a blessing tunnel. And we all got up there, and the people walked past us, all the children as well, the adults, the children, and we just blessed each one of them in our language. You know, we blessed the work of their hands, we blessed their family, we blessed their heart, we blessed their future walk with God. We just blessed. And any one of us could do that. We taught a kids' church. We only had a day's notice, I think, about that we were going to teach a kids' church. And the 18-year-old on the trip with us said, I can do that because I've just been around Victoria and I've got a, you know, short program to give. So we all got on board with her and added to that. And we broke up into two groups. So now instead of teaching one class, we had to think of two things to do. So Tim took a class and little Hannah took a class, and everybody took put their hand up to come alongside those people and help lead a spontaneous kids church. So we taught English in a Thai school. This was the first time ATM had been asked to go into this school. And so the director of ATM decided to send us a motley bunch of Australians who speak English.
Badly.
into this school and be on behalf of them. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, you're letting us loose on these kids. And but they believed in us and they honoured us and they said, you can do this because you speak English. And so half an hour before we went to this school, here we are in this cafe with our paper napkins writing down an English lesson that we may have to take for over an hour. So God is so good. God is good. And each one of you can do this as well. So we were put on the spot, but we went there and we sung songs, we played games, and we spoke English. What Alan was doing up on a table in one of those classrooms, I don't know, but you can ask him later. So we encouraged those around us, not only encouraged us amongst the team, which was really important to encourage the team, encouraging each other, because many times we were put on the spot, many times we were out of our comfort zone. And so encouragement was a big factor. I decided we were asked to give, if we could do a workshop, and I thought, well, what can I do, Lord? You know, I can teach maybe a scripture or something. And I decided to do a dental workshop, and it sounds a bit boring. It's about brushing teeth. But it turned out just absolutely fantastic, because in that workshop there were kids with problems. There was an 18-year-old who had never had an adult tooth come through. There was someone else who had crowding. There was someone else whose baby had rotting teeth all up the top. And so each of them had a different scenario and a different problem, and I was able to go in there and talk about it, and it turned out to be really great. So the little that I knew was much more than what they knew. And you know things, every one of you know things a little bit more about something that someone else doesn't know. And you can bring that as a lesson. So we ended up spending over an hour doing that. We washed feet. We did a feet washing ceremony. So we were servants and we washed people's feet. That involves just kneeling on the floor and grabbing a towel and splashing water over someone's feet. So that was quite easy. But while we were washing feet, other people gave prophetic words and prayed over people and blessed people. That's a little bit difficult, but, you know, every one of us that went, the 14 of us that went, we were able to deliver prophetic words and pray blessing, pray encouragement over those people. I also I went and had a lie down on the Monday because that was kind of our day off. And at the end of my short sleep, I woke up with two really vivid dreams, and I thought, wow, they must be prophetic words. Anyway, so I thought, well, who do I give these to, God? And it happened to be that God wanted me to tell the Karina, who is the director of ATM, one of the directors. And those two words given to her were just spot on for her life and what God had been talking to her about and what God said was going to happen in her life. So all of us gave prophetic words, all of us gave words of encouragement, and each one here has the ability to give prophetic word because we've got the same Holy Spirit, we have the same Father, we have Jesus within us, and he promises to be with us, promises to work through us. So I'd just like to mention, just honour my team members and mention what they did. So just a few things they did. So we had Jared there giving prophetic word quite often. And Jared was on the ball. He was on the mark. And people really appreciated those prophetic words. He gave a prophetic word on the last night to Tim and Claudia. And Tim said, you know, that was really on the mark, on the ball. So, you know, Jared was in there quite often doing that. Alan was he taught on prayer. He blessed the people. He blessed wherever we went. Alan had a blessing for the people. He blessed the people. He blessed their land. Janice singing songs, encouraging young mums, prophesying, praying. There was Pat encouraging ministers to avoid burnout, prophesying and praying blessings over people. Shona acting in a kids' church, making a joyful noise to the Lord. Sanding and staining doors, teaching English. She just about had a panic attack when she heard that she was going to be teaching English. But, you know, with encouragement, she did it. She was there. She did it. And she was doing it alongside Brits. You know, Brits sitting with a young mum as the mum pours out a story to Brits, just being a companion to her. Dawn giving prophetic word. Dawn acting. Dawn washing the feet of the weary. Then we had Chris and Keith giving encouraging words, encouraging those around them, giving out medications, et cetera, et cetera. Sylvia sanding doors, staining doors, encouraging people. Sylvia teaching English to the Thai kids. Sylvia always ready with an encouraging word. There's so many times that Sylvia encouraged me during the week, which I really appreciated. Sylvia praying for others. And then we had Robin and Hannah and their encouragement and their involvement. And then we had Craig keeping the team together, encouraging us, saying, you can do this. You can do this, peoples. Just fantastic. I hope I didn't miss anyone out.
No. I think the key in there is to remember, you know, whatever little we have in our hand, it's not about us. It's about what Jesus can use from the little that we bring in our hand in whatever context it may be. And Helen, maybe just lastly, what have you seen in Thailand that we can bring back here to Hillside?
Oh, Craig, I'd have to say the squat toilets.
Yeah, I love them too.
No, really, what did I see over there? I saw that we are the body of Christ. That each of us have a part to play. We are the body of Christ. And sometimes we may feel like we're pew warmers sitting here in the church. But, you know, we have Christ inside of us and each one has gifts and talents. Each one of us can prophesy. Each one of us can give an encouraging word. Each one of us can pray. We don't have to have title. We can do things. Each one should be encouraged to do things. Ephesians 2:10 says that each one of us are created for good works in Christ Jesus. We're his masterpiece, we're his workmanship, and each one of us are created to do something, to be the body of Christ where we are. None of us are overlooked by God, that we all have a part to play. And that was a beauty. We, you know, took a motley bunch of people to Thailand, and like you said, you know, Peter... God used Peter, fisherman, smelly, impetuous Peter, and God used him to be a Jesus witness. And God can use every one of us here. Any one of us could have been on that team to Thailand, and we would have been ministering the heart of Jesus to other people. And what I saw too was there was a sermon that Kerry gave a couple of weeks ago, and the sermon was entitled, When God Interrupts the Comfortable. We were so taken out of our comfort zone. One day we travelled, it turned out to be 8 hours, only it was supposed to be shorter, but we had a flat tyre and we had to replace a tyre. So we travelled 8 hours up into a hillside, remote hillside village. We encountered steps that were quickly placed there that were wobbly. We encountered really steep slopes. We encountered mud, squat toilets. Nobody had a shower for 24 hours. We found out where we were sleeping. We were sleeping on concrete with a little skinny mattress. And we all did it. We all did it. And we were eating food we don't normally eat. We woke up really tired because hardly any of us slept. And then we had to go to a church service and they had 3 different church services that we were to minister at. So we were way out of our comfort zone, but God is so gracious, God is so good, and we already had God inside of us, and God inside of us came out and encouraged the people. And so we were able to go to the prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning. We were able to sing songs, we were able to give a word of encouragement, we were able to all of a sudden decide on the spot that we can do 2 kids programs that morning. We were able to go into the church service and bless the people and give words of encouragement. So out of your comfort zone. Now, that's like us deciding that we're going to go to Geraldton tomorrow, stay overnight, deliver a sermon, probably three sermons, and then come back the next day. And but to live really badly. we get very comfortable here, but that sermon, when God interrupts the comfortable, we can do things that we don't think we can do.
Amen. Amen. I just lived that for 13 days. Helen, I love your insight. I love your heart for just for people. And I think it also, church, know that these are just snippets from our team. You've got 13, 14 of us that have all got different snippets, different perspectives. And if you want to know more, please speak to Helen. But Helen, I'm going to ask you to,
sing, dance.
You can do that if you like. Brits is next one up. So why don't we give Helen a round of applause? All right, young one. So Brits.
Hello.
Hello. First time heading into the mission field. I think it'd be good, particularly for our young adult community and our youth community, to understand why you chose to join the trip and what your expectations were.
So I would say, like, my decision to join the trip was probably mostly my cynicism, because I kind of, having grown up in the church and seen a lot of like short-term mission trips go out, I wasn't really sure how they functioned, and I guess I just wanted to see what that was all about. So that was kind of why I decided to go. So not very inspiring, but
what did you expect?
I'm not sure. I didn't really set any expectations for myself. I just kind of wanted to go and learn and see how the church functions in a different culture.
So from maybe a start point of skepticism, what did you see?
I don't know how to explain it, other than it was just really fantastic seeing how Compassion and ATM function working with the community and being the church, but being the church in a way that works within Thai culture. And I wasn't sure how that would look. So, yeah, that was kind of what I saw.
Very practical. Very practical in terms of the way Compassion and ATM definitely go about their work, and you know, they're right in there with the people, not teaching them that a Western way is a better way. They're teaching them that their way is great, you know, and they're empowering the Thai people, definitely. Any highlights from the trip?
I would say, like, the definite highlight was meeting my sponsor child. That was very, very cool. I can't even explain that other than, yeah, I don't know. That was just amazing. But I feel like that's an obvious highlight. Other than that, I think just going into the different projects and seeing some of the curriculum and work that they do was really cool. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, just that insight into how the organisations that we're partnered with works. I think particularly for people that might go, oh, where's the money going to? How does this work? What do they actually do? Great trip in terms of understanding the practicalities, and both ATM and Compassion, very, very transparent and very, very willing to be accountable to us, which was beautiful from them. Brits, I guess last question from me. What advice would you give to anyone thinking of heading out to a short-term mission?
So I had to think about this one for a long time, because, like, my decision to go I didn't put heaps of thought into how I was going to cope. So I guess the biggest piece of advice I would give, particularly, like, to young adults and youth, is just be ready to learn and watch and observe and encourage, but focus on learning, because particularly when you go into it for short-term mission, you don't know how the culture works, you don't know how the people groups work. So just be willing to learn about how you can share Jesus in a way that works with a culture, and all the different, like, the holistic kind of viewpoint that you have to have on working with people.
Yes. I know. I think, you know, being willing to learn is incredible kind of insight, but also kudos to, you know, yourself, Hannah and Shona, the three youngest members of the team. They learned for sure, but my goodness, those three had to jump into some situations that they were not expecting, as did the rest of the team. And just want to honour the team for their ability to just go with it, you know, teaching English at a few hours' notice. Don't make a bad impression, guys. It's our first time in the school. It came with a lot of pressure, came with a lot of maybe stress, but we also saw the power of the Holy Spirit when we go in with our little and he just brings out the best in us. So Brits, look, thank you. Again, I particularly think of the young adult and the youth community. You got Brits, Shona, who have just been into the mission field, and I just encourage you, you know, if they can do it, you can do it. If Sylvia Andrews at 80 years old can do it twice now, you guys can do it, you know. So Brits, thank you for your insight. And Al, last but not least. Al, guess what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to change on you.
He's preaching for you.
Yeah. All right. So I had a whole load of questions for you, yeah. But we're going to do them some other time, all right?
Yeah.
So on the spot, we're going to decide to bless our team because I just believe there's been some seed sown this morning and hopefully you've been encouraged that you can do it, that this is not a special group. You know, you don't have to have a diploma or a degree. You don't have to have X amount of years in a church. You just have to have the love of Christ within you and being willing to share that. I guess, Al, just as an overview before you bless the people, can you just give us very quickly some of your thoughts?
Yeah, just some of my thoughts were that I went probably in two capacities. My main one wasn't a selfish one, but was a representative of Hillside Church to observe and to just see what actually these two mission groups do. And I can sum it up very quickly, and I can see and say to you quite confidently that they serve, they minister, they control very, very diligently. And as a representative of Hillside, I wanted to know a little bit more what goes on. Where does the money go to? How's the administration done? How does the people that are there, how are they ministering? And I could not fault anything. All I could say is compliments to them, how they have so much faith to be able to just commit to something and then God honours it. And there's just so many testimonies that will come up from time to time that God told someone to look to the side on a wet, wet, wet day, and there huddled in the side of the road was a young mother with a newborn baby, and God, and this lady just obeyed. She looked, she did a U-turn, picked the baby and the mother up, and that was just a God moment, just a God moment which birthed a whole another lot of ministry. So just seeing those witnesses and witnessing those testimonies, now I can just honour ATM, and I can honour and recommend Compassion fully.
Awesome, Al. I'm glad that you were with us to see that as an elder in our church, but also just appreciate all the times you stepped out and worked on the spot. Al also tried a lot of the local cuisine, including some like four-legged things and scorpions and spiders and all sorts. So rather you than me, I'm glad you did that and not me. Church, this definitely wasn't an hour spent hearing lovely stories from us. That was never the intent, right? The intent was that you can do it too. Whatever the context, whether it be your street here in Forestfield, whether it be HCCO, whether it be Northern Thailand, wherever. I think it's so important that we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of it. And we can all do it. And no one's too young, and no one's too old. And I think we proved that over the last 13 days with the way people that love Jesus came together and served. So what I will say to you is, if you have your own context, and if the Lord has already placed it in your heart that you need to go and do something, go do it. But if you go, man, the Lord has just stirred something up in me, Craig, and I don't know where it is that he wants me to go. You know, we have so many outreaches, so many opportunities that come out of this house of God that we can point you in the right direction and hopefully try and filter some of your thoughts and give you an opportunity to serve wherever it may be. So please, 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 if you feel a call to action and you don't know what to do with it, come and see us. Okay, come and see us. We want to activate you. We want to be part of spurring you on and cheering you on to serve Jesus. We also have, I also have a handful of Compassion Children with me today. Their sponsor profiles. If anyone feels that they want to sponsor a child, please again come and see me. Because we'd love to see more children taken out of poverty and brought into a place of enough. Okay, you got to remember the opposite of poverty isn't abundance. It's just enough. And if you want to take kids out of poverty into enough, we can do that as well today. So why don't we stand, church? Why don't we stand together? And Alan, my brother, has been blessing all over the hill tribes of Northern Thailand, and if it's good enough over there, I reckon it's good enough
good
over
enough
here.
Good enough here, yeah.
So come on, lean into it, church. Come on, let's.
Yeah, I was privileged to speak over so many small groups, large groups, and just on the spot, and just as a team, we worked together so much and just reflected off each other. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, who we honour and who we love, I declare over this body at Hillside Church, this body that meets in Forestfield, this body that meets in Perth, Western Australia, I declare over each one, every relationship and every family, I declare God's rich blessing, his abundance over you, his health and well-being over you. And for those needs that you have, I declare his blessings of abundance will be in your life, over your life, and through your life. For every health issue that may be, every challenge that may be, God is the one to look to. God is your healer. God is your supporter. God is your strength. I bless you in his name. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ for your home. I speak a blessing over your home, over your family, over your transport, over your work, over your school, everything that you're involved with, because you are the reflection of Jesus Christ where you go. I bless you in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al. So, church, let's do more. Let's love more. Let's serve more. Let's go out into our communities and be the hands and feet of Jesus, okay? All of us. It's not a spectator sport. It's all of us.